This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Thursday, February 26th, brought to you by Watkins & Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Blending rules appear imminent. China ready to retaliate. An American Farm Bureau wants Farm Bill passed. Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Jeff Cooper said he's optimistic EPA will stick to its proposal for the highest ever biofuel blending targets. He also called on the EPA to fully reallocate volumes exempted for some refineries in prior years when it issues its final regulations for 26 and 27. Question is when? Cooper said at his group's National Ethanol Conference in Orlando, we just need EPA to finalize the rule, and we know the agency is close to doing so. An EPA official speaking at the conference said the proposed final rule would be sent to the White House for review on Wednesday. That, according to Bloomberg intelligence analyst Brett Gibbs, sending the rule for review signals it could be out in the next 2 to 4 weeks. EPA has said in court it aims to issue those regulations by the end of March. Beijing says it is ready to retaliate to any increase in U.S. tariff rates that may come from an investigation into its implementation of the Phase 1 trade deal. If the U.S. insists on pushing forward with relevant investigations or even uses the investigation as a pretext to introduce restrictive measures such as tariffs, China will take all necessary measures to resolutely defend its legitimate rights and interests, a Chinese Commerce Department spokesperson said yesterday. Top trade officials for the U.S. stressing that the administration has no immediate plans to reignite trade tensions. U.S. Trade Representative Jameson Greer said yesterday he expects China to eventually face a similar tariff rate as it did before the Supreme Court struck down emergency tariffs. We don't intend to escalate, he said in an interview on Fox Business. The administration is planning to use Section 301 investigations, like the one launched against China, as a mechanism to enforce previously agreed trade pacts, he argued. That is the enforcement mechanism to make sure that countries comply with their deals, he said. The Supreme Court struck down a 20% tariff on Chinese exports. With a new global tariff rate currently at 10%, China has so far seen a tariff cut from the court's decision. But the administration says the global tariff could rise to 15%. If it will go up to 15 for some, it may go higher for others, Greer said. The American Farm Bureau Federation is calling on the House Agriculture Committee to agree on a new farm bill. In a statement being issued today, American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall says the GOP draft bill, quote, updates important food and farm programs, enhances conservation efforts, bolsters assistance to specialty crops, and makes critical investments in agricultural research. The statement goes on to say that the committee should, quote, work together to find common ground during markup and pass a bipartisan farm bill. After 3 years of delays, farmers desperately need policy that will help give them the tools and certainty to continue food, growing food and fiber for every American family. The committee is scheduled to take up that bill next week. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkins & Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkins & Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkins & Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top-quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results.
The American Soybean Association is going on the record cautioning that authorizing year-round use of E15 should not result in harm to biomass-based diesel production. There has long been concern about the impact of small refinery exemptions on biodiesel demand. Those exemptions are currently the subject of negotiations on Capitol Hill with oil refiners. ASA members adopted a resolution yesterday on its E15 position. What we don't want is net zero, where it helps E15, but it's negative to biodiesel. As farmers, we're looking for something that gives a plus up on both sides, ASA Vice President Dave Walton said at a news conference later yesterday. Cotton and soybean farmers are nervous about getting their hands on dicamba herbicide this year. Needn't worry, Bayer's Brian Neighbor tells AgriPulse. In a big relief to growers, EPA this month approved dicamba for over-the-top use on soy and cotton. One of the big questions Neighbor hears now from farmers is if there's going to be enough time for Bayer to deliver its new Strix dicamba herbicide for the upcoming growing season. Yes, we will, he said in an interview from Commodity Classic here in San Antonio, but it will be just in time to get it there. Bayer expects adoption and market share of the product to be really high, said Neighbor. He's head of North American and Australian New Zealand region for crop science. The crop science giant is in the process of taking orders and ramping up production. On Bayer's short stature corn, Neighbor said commercially planted acres are expected to more than double to 200,000 acres, up from 85,000 last year. The corn's shorter height means a stronger stalk to endure high winds, also makes it easier for farmers to do field work, according to Bayer. Wildfires that have burned through parts of Oklahoma over the last week have resulted in significant cattle losses for some of the state's producers, according to Bruce Boyer, Director of Communications for the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture, Food and Forestry. Boyer told AgriPulse yesterday that based on the number of producers the agency has talked to about the impact of the fires, cattle losses could be in the hundreds and may go as high as 1,000 or more. Even looking past the immediate impact of the cattle, the ground is burned over pretty well, Boyer said of the loss of forage. In parts of northwest Oklahoma, looks like a big sand pit. There's no grass to be seen because of the blowing sand. Boyer also said producers have reported losses of farm buildings and houses. He said on one operation, a barn building came down with the cattle still inside. Here's today's final word. This is a corn earworm. This is the kind of thing that destroys our crops. If we fail to use proper pesticides, it will drive down yields 20 to 50%, even more for fruits and vegetables, the very thing we want people to eat more of. That's Senator John Husted of Ohio at the confirmation hearing for Casey Means to be Surgeon General. This is a very complex issue. I have the utmost respect for the American farmer, Means responded, but also said we have developed an agriculture system that is dependent on chemicals that are toxic to have an affordable food supply. That's not good for farmers, and that's not good for consumers. You can read more on that issue at agripulse.com. Well, that's Daybreak for this Thursday, February 26th. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Chap Daly.